Good morning. This is Roland Springs Baptist Church, and our study is Precept Bible Study, and we're studying in the book of Hebrews, and we have already studied the first of four chapters of Hebrews. That was part one, and now we are starting this year, a new year, in part two of Hebrews. So today is lesson one of part two, and this will be on chapter five, and we'll be looking back at some of chapter four that will bring us up to date here in this chapter. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you praising you, Father, for the great Almighty God that you are. And Father, we need you to teach us as we study. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our minds and our hearts and our very souls and give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your truths. And Father, may we live our lives to glorify your name. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's look at chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 14 through 16. These verses tell us some things about Jesus being our great high priest. So we learned in these verses that he is the great high priest who passed through the heavens. And again, the writer calls believers to hold fast our confession. So he also tells us in these verses that he can sympathize with our weaknesses, and yet he didn't sin. So Jesus was tempted to sin, but he didn't. So we know that coming to this earth and taking on flesh, that he, like man, could feel and know what the temptations were, and also he was tempted in all the things that we're tempted in, but yet he was divine and without sin. So because we know this, we can draw near to him with confidence, and we can find help when we are tempted. And he is gracious to us because he has been tempted and been through the things that we too go through in our daily lives. Now, let's read the first 10 verses of chapter 5, and then we'll go back and discuss each verse. Verse 1 of chapter 5, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Just as he says also in another passage, thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, now those are the first 10 verses in chapter 5. So let's look now at what these verses are saying. We know that here it tells us that every high priest was taken from among men is appointed. So we have learned in studying the Old Testament that Aaron from the tribe of the Levites was appointed or chosen by God for the order of a priest and his sons. So that verse 1 says that they are appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So the priest of the earthly priest, going back into the study in the Old Testament, we find a lot in Numbers 16 and also in Leviticus about these priests. So here the writer says that he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that the earthly priest, he knows how to deal with these and that are ignorant and misguided, because he, the priest, the earthly priest, is also weak, and he too has to get forgiveness. And because of it, he, the high priest, is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. So we see here that as a priest, he has to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, but also he has to offer sacrifice for himself. So in the fourth verse, it says that no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So we know that Aaron belonged, as we mentioned earlier, to the tribe of Levi. And this tribe was appointed and set aside by God to carry out the priestly duties for the nation of Israel. And then we go to the fifth verse, and it says, so also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he, speaking of God, who said to him, to Jesus, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. So we see here that God spoke to his son, and he says to him that he has begotten him. So we see in this that God is also saying that he is choosing his son to be high priest. Because in the sixth verse, he goes on to say, just as he, God, says in another passage, thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So here the writer of Hebrews is saying that God himself has appointed his son to be a priest. And in appointing him as priest, he chooses him to be a priest forever. And he goes on to say, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, the writer of Hebrews has taken these verses, the first in chapter 5 came from Psalm 2, verse 7. And then further, when it says in another passage, he took these verses in verse 6 here from Psalms 110:4, repeating what was given to David back in Old Testament days. So, God himself then ordained his son. And here we see that there's that he is that it's through the order of Melchizedek. Now, we'll study more about the order of Melchizedek as we go forward into the other chapters, so we won't go into a deep study here about Melchizedek, but you will find the readings about Melchizedek in Genesis, and if you want to go back and be studying that, but we will study it later. Now, in verse 7, he says, in the days of his flesh, speaking of Jesus, he offered both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one, speaking of God, able to save him from death. And he, Jesus, was heard because of his piety. So, here we know that Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he was here on this earth, and he was at that time the Son of Man, and here we know that even in the flesh, he offered prayer and supplication with loud cryings. Now, that is referring to his praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, because we know here that Jesus suffered and he cried out to his Father. And crying out, he was a man, and he knew that his suffering was to come, and that he cried out to him. But we know that Aaron himself was a man and would know about the weakness of the people. So he had to offer sacrifice for himself and his family. But Christ is able to enter into the needs and problems of God's people. Even while he was here on the earth, we see that Christ, he endured suffering more than even before he went to the cross. the much suffering that he endured. So we have to keep in mind that as God, Christ needed nothing, but as the Son of Man, he was one day to be high priest. It was necessary for him to experience trial and suffering. And God was preparing his Son to be a sympathetic high priest for his people. So, as we go forward now, in verse 8, that verse says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So, here we see Christ in the flesh, and he learned obedience through his suffering. He was obedient even in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out to the Father and he prayed to him, saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So through all of his suffering, he learned obedience in the flesh. Remember, you're looking at Christ and in the flesh. And verse 9 says, having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So here we see that through his death, that he became the source of our salvation, because it was only through his death that was made possible. Remember Aaron and those that were high priests, they sacrificed animals, but Christ sacrificed his very flesh, his very body. We know also in studying in the Old Testament that Aaron and the other priest would go in and out and make sacrifices, but Aaron himself was the high priest, and he was the only one that could go in, and he went in once a year behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies to make sacrifice, but it had to be done over and over, year by year. But Christ died one time, and that one time was sufficient to bring back our relationship with God that was broken in the very beginning by Adam and Eve in the garden. But we know that we have to believe upon the name of Jesus in order to receive forgiveness of our sins. And as we look further at this, we see that here that Jesus was our high priest according, again it says, to the order of Melchizedek. And as we study, we will see that Melchizedek was without beginning and without end. And of course, we know that Christ is without beginning and without end. And also, we see that Melchizedek was a king and a high priest. But as I said earlier, we'll be studying more about the order of Melchizedek. Now, let's read 11, verse 11 of chapter 5 through 14. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So here he is saying that it's hard to explain to you, the ones that I'm writing to, because you have become dull of hearing. And let's see in verse 12 through 14 how that they were dull of hearing. For though by this time you, the recipients that he's writing to, ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So, here we see that the writer says there's a problem that to those that he is writing to, that they have become dull of hearing. And he's saying that he wants to go from milk. That's the simple things of Christian life. And we'll study that in chapter 6. To meat. And that's the heavenly priest. But there's no way that they can unless they wake up and they start growing. But these readers of this letter that he is writing, unless they wake up, they won't be able to. So we're looking at today as Christians. There are some Christians today that just live on milk. That's the ABCs of the gospel. So if they just live on milk, then they have no concept of the meat, that word of God. They don't understand what Christ is now doing in heaven as our great high priest. They know that he is our Savior, but they don't understand him being the high priest. In other words, he's saying that these people have been saved long enough that they should be teaching others about spiritual growth. But somebody needs to teach them because they are inexperienced in the Word. And it's talking about the Word of God. A Christian's relationship to the Word of God determines his spiritual maturity. And these people that he's writing to have drifted from the Word. In other words, they doubted the Word, and they became dull toward the Word. And they're not mixed with the Word of the Word with faith and practicing it in their daily lives. So he is speaking not only to these that he's writing to, but remember, the Word is written down for us today. And he is speaking to those Christians today that do not stay in the Word of God, do not grow in faith and knowledge. You have to study and read God's Word in order to grow in the grace and knowledge. So grace itself depends on growing in knowledge. And you'll find that 2 Peter 3:18, Peter tells us that to be able to grow that we need to apply ourselves. So here, what he's talking about is growing spiritually. And that's the way that, and the only way that we can grow spiritually is to be in the Word daily and pondering the Word in our lives from day to day, that God may grow us up and give us knowledge and wisdom of His truths. So I will ask the question, are you a babe still living on milk, wandering in the wilderness of unbelief? Or are you mature, feeding on the meat of the Word and making it a habit to practice the Word of God? That's good questions to ask ourselves. And in order to know, we have to look at our lives to see where we are in our growth toward our Lord and Savior spiritually. Because He can't use us as testimonies unless we are growing in His grace and knowledge. So, as we end our discussion today in this chapter, be much in prayer for yourselves, for each other, for one another, and for me as we go forward in our study next week. Let us pray that God will give us a heart of understanding and a heart that has a desire to grow. You know, you can't grow if you don't desire to grow. So let's pray that God will give us that heart to grow in His grace and knowledge. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise You for Your precious Word. And Father, we need You to teach us. And I pray each time that we come before Your throne and sit at Your feet, that You will give us understanding of Your truths, Father, and knowledge, that we may know You more, that we may understand Your truths. Father, that we may live it in our lives every day and not become dull of hearing. But Father, just help us that we will grow and glorify You, Father. It's all about glorifying You. And we just praise You, Father. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.